Now, some of you, Connect, will call yourself a Christian. You'll have taken the decision at some point in the last few years to trust in Jesus, to ask Jesus to be your friend. To say, the old life where I was doing what I wanted to do was wrong, and I want Jesus to be the king of my life. Some of you have done that. So here's my question. What happens next? You've trusted in Jesus. What happens next? And let me open that question up to everyone here. You've trusted in Jesus. Many of us here. What happens next? Here are a few options. First, we might believe and wait. We've trusted in Jesus. Salvation is a work of God. And so we just wait for God to continue that work. Maybe he's done it all already. And we just sit back and wait. Second option. Can we have our first slide, Pete? The second option, believe plus rules. First option, believe and wait. Second option, next slide, please, Pete. Believe plus rules. So we believe, we trust in Jesus. And what we need to do is learn a few of the rules that we need to live the life that Christians are supposed to live. To behave what like Christians are supposed to behave. So we stop smoking, sleeping with people, swearing and using bad language, getting drunk, start to behave like the other Christians in the church we go to, use the same language as them. We believe plus a few rules. Or the third option, we believe and we finish off. God has saved us, but we've still got a work to do to complete that. He's given us faith, and so with that faith, we do some work, and we finish off the work of salvation. So here's the question. Which of those is right? Which of those do you live your life by? Well, we're going to find out which one's right over the next 25 minutes. And let me just say, if you're not a Christian today, most of what I'm saying today is particularly focused on those who call themselves Christians. But if you're not a Christian here today, please do listen, because I think you're going to find this quite interesting. For those who've trusted in Jesus, what next? Please do listen up and maybe think what questions you've got about someone who becomes a Christian. Ask me or a friend afterwards. We're going through the book of Philippians. And we're looking today at chapter 2, verse 12 to 18. So please do keep your Bibles open at page 1179. And we saw earlier that in chapter 1, verse 27, the main instruction of the letter, Paul said, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The main instruction of the letter. Paul's in prison, probably in Rome, writing to Christians in Philippi. And he wants them to live in a way that fits their new status as people who follow Jesus Christ. Live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Last Sunday, we saw how he urged them to look out for one another's interests. Just like Jesus looked out for our interests. You see, Jesus could have stayed in heaven. He didn't need to come down and look out for our interests and make himself nothing and humble himself even to death on a cross. He didn't need to do that, but he looked out for our interests. And so we too should look out for one another's interests. So we come to our passage, and there's one point here. I'll make it very simple. It's one point. Work out your salvation. Work out your salvation. But what does that mean? Isn't salvation something that God does in us? So why work? Flick over a page to chapter 3, verse 20, and we read, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We wait for our glorious Savior to transform our bodies. So why work? Or flick back a page, chapter 1, verse 6. Paul writes, being confident of this, that he, that's God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. He's going to carry on the good work that he began in us. So why work? Well, Paul gives an answer in verse 13 of our passage. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God's working in us. He began that work when he planted the seed of faith in our hearts when we first became a Christian. He's going to finish that work, but he wants us to work as well. So, if we look at our grid we've got on the screen there, we can see that the first option is wrong. We can get rid of that one. Belief plus wait. Well, we do wait. We wait eagerly for our Savior to transform our bodies. But while we wait, we work. So the next question is, if we're to work, then how about the third one? Is that correct? God does his bit, gives us faith, and then do we carry that on? Complete the job, finish off? No. Look at verse 13. God works in us to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. He's got a purpose for us. It's a good purpose. We know what that is. It's to complete the good work he started in us. Chapter 1, verse 6. It's to transform our bodies. Chapter 3, verse 20. And to achieve that purpose, he works in us to will. That's our desires. To give us desires. And to act, to enable us to live according to those desires that he has given us. So option three is wrong because our work comes from God as he gives us the desires and then enables us to live, to work out those desires, to live by those desires. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. This plant started off as a tiny seed in the soil. A seed which had everything inside it to enable it to grow. You plant it in the soil, and it's gonna grow. But there are things that you can do to help it grow and things that you can do to stop it growing. If you put water in it, if you give it the right amount of sunshine, if you put fertilizer, if you're particularly keen in it, if you take out the weeds that fight for the nutrients in it, it will grow. If you do nothing, it will stop growing. As you can see, I have done nothing for about 3 weeks, and it's looking a little worse for wear. It needs some water. And I intend to give it some water. That seed had everything in it that it needed to grow. But it was my responsibility to help it grow. Otherwise, it won't. And it's a bit like that. A bit like that when it comes to our salvation. Paul commands us to work out our salvation. The good news of Jesus has been planted like a seed in our hearts, the seed of faith. And we can help it grow or we can stop it grow. We can help it grow by feeding it nutrients, the word of God. And we can weed out all those sins as we examine ourselves for bad desires and bad thoughts and bad actions and weed them out. Or we can do nothing. And that seed won't grow. And no fruit will be seen on that plant. But as we do this, we know that it's God who is working in us. He's giving us the desire to grow, the desire to become more like him. And he's giving us the ability to live according to those desires that he's given us. So let's sum up where we've got to. Working out our salvation does not mean that we contribute to our salvation. Salvation comes from God alone. That's what Paul said in Ephesians. Salvation comes from God alone. It does not mean that our salvation is uncertain. Our salvation is completely certain. If it depended on us in any way whatsoever, if we had to contribute a tiny little bit, our salvation would be uncertain because we can't rely on ourselves. But because it depends on God, it's completely certain. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Those he predestined from before the beginning of time, he will glorify when Jesus comes. He will do it. It is certain. Salvation rests in God alone, and so it's certain. But working out our salvation does mean that salvation is a process. It's a process that started when God began the good work in us, planting the seed of faith, chapter 1, verse 6. It will finish on the day of Christ, chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 3, verse 20. It means that God works in our wills internally, in our actions externally. And it means that we must work as well. But what does it look like to work out our salvation? What does it look like to work out our salvation? Well, Paul helps by giving us an example to the Philippians. Verse 14, what does he say? Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. That word grumbling is an interesting word. It's the same word that's used about the Israelites when they were in the desert, having just come out from Egypt. And what do? They've been saved from slavery in Egypt, and they have no meat, so they grumble against Moses and against God. They have no water, so they grumble against Moses and against God. They grumble again and again. Same word. And Paul is warning these Philippian Christians not to be like those Israelites 1,500 odd years before them who didn't enter the promised land because they grumbled and didn't continue to trust in God's promises for them. So the grumbling and arguing here is mainly against God. And we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling before a holy, majestic God. Not with a grumbling, arguing spirit that constantly tests him and questions why this and why that. And surely it would have been better this way, Lord, and better that way. But the grumbling and arguing probably also has a horizontal dimension as well. It's probably also grumbling and arguing amongst themselves. There's definitely the theme of disunity in the Philippian letter. We've seen that before already. We'll see it later on. And Paul doesn't want them to grumble and argue amongst themselves. So that was one way that Philippian Christians are to work out their salvation in fear and trembling. When we think of sin, we might think of things that are pretty obvious. Getting drunk, sleeping around, bad language. Maybe we think of things like lust, physically desiring a woman, or pride, thinking highly of ourselves. But how often do we think of grumbling and arguing? Because that's the example Paul gives to the Philippians of how they are to work out their salvation. And that's why option two is also wrong. Option two says that we believe and then we start to obey a few of these kind of external outside rules. Things that you shouldn't do in church life. And we start to use the same language as one another. And then once we've done that, we wait for God to come and save us. That's why option two is wrong as well. God wants our hearts to change, our desires to change. He wants us to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That same Christ who left heaven because he considered us and not himself. He wants us to think like Christ, to desire what Christ desires, to act like Christ. The Christ who left everything and came down so low as a dependent baby, even to death on a cross. To think and desire and act like that Christ, that's the kind of change that he wants. Not merely add a few little external rules to our life. So we're to work for that. Not with our own energy, but with the energy that God provides. With the desires that he gives us, so that he can enable us to act according to those desires. So option one, option two, option three are wrong, which means what are we supposed to do? We believe and we continue to believe and trust while working out what God is working in us. We continue to trust while working out what God is working in us. The energy comes from God, the desire comes from God, the action, the ability comes from God. Like Martin Luther, the great reformer, like he said, we are saved by faith alone. But the faith which saves is never alone. We are saved by faith alone, but the faith which saves is never alone. Do you get that? We are saved by faith alone. But if we've got saving faith, it will always come with actions. It will always mean that we will be working it out. And if we're not working it out, if we don't see those desires and those actions, then something is wrong. So working out our salvation is a process by which we steadily bring our lives more in keeping with the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not just about externals, our actions, but it concerns our very heart, our desires, our thoughts, everything that goes on inside of us. It's a continuous process. Paul says, continue to work out your salvation in fear and trembling. That started with that seed of faith, that will finish on the day of Christ when we go to be with him. Just like tending a garden is never finished. Constant weeds, constant growing, constant watering required. And it should be done with fear and trembling. Sometimes we can approach God as a friend, as a mate. He is our loving Heavenly Father, but he is the awesome, holy God who wants holiness in us. And we need to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. It's a communal process. Paul is speaking, writing to the Philippian Christians as a whole. Continue to work out your salvation. Your is plural there. And we help each other. We see later in this passage, Paul is working for them that they might continue. And we must work for one another. It's also an individual process. We each have ultimate responsibility for our own lives, but we work together as a community of faith. There's no place for individual Christians living on their own. It's done with God's strength alone, not our own strength. And when we look back at any progress that we've made, we realize that it's all been done by God in us and not by us. So here's my question for you. Are you continuing to work out your salvation? When you came in, I hope you were handed out a sheet of paper with the catchy title, Annual Spiritual Checkup. This might have scared you. Have a little look at that now. This may be a helpful thing for you to spend an hour or so with on your own, with your spouse, with your family, on your own, then with your spouse, whatever. To think back over the year 2015, from January 1st to December 31st, 2015, and think, how was my salvation working itself out in my lives, in my thoughts, in my actions? What needs work in 2016? Or did I just sit back and wait for God to do everything? We need to work with the strength that God provides. The result of this will be that you stand out. If we work out our salvation for God's working in us, we will stand out. That's what Paul says. So that you may become blameless and pure. Those two words, blameless and pure, are talking about reputation. Reputation in the community and outside the community. You'll be blameless and pure. No one will be able to say a bad word about you. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Warped, think of a length of wood, a piece of wood that's not straight. A generation that's not straight, it's crooked. It's wicked. It's not as it should be. It's a phrase that Paul's taken from a song written 1500 years earlier by Moses as he's about to die. Similar context, eh? Moses is about to die and he writes a song for the Israelites because God has told him that the Israelites, after his death, after Joshua's death, will turn away from God. And so he's told to write this song as a testimony, as a witness against them. He writes a song, verse 5, he talks about the people of Israel who will not be God's children. They won't be his children. They will be a warped and crooked generation. The people of God, after Moses' death, will not be his children, but they'll be a warped and crooked generation. And here Paul, using exactly the same phrase, talks to the Philippian Christians and says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, then you'll be blameless and pure. You will be children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. They won't be the warped and crooked generation. They will be children of God in that crooked generation, shining like stars in a dark sky as they hold firmly to that word of life, the gospel of Jesus. As they hold firmly to that, they will be shining like stars in the dark sky. We live in a dark world. Are we reflecting the light of Christ to people around us? Like the stars in the sky reflect the light of the sun in a dark world. As a community of Christians here in Easton and in Bristol, Do we have a reputation here for integrity, truth, honesty, compassion and love, hearts of thankfulness and praise, not grumbling and arguing? Do you have a reputation in your workplace, in your street, at your toddler group, in your day center, for being honest, for not cheating, maybe at school, with your mates, for not gossiping or talking, saying bad things about friends, for not cutting corners, for showing compassion and love to those who are left out? You will stand out if you continue to work out your salvation. You'll stand out like the bright stars shining in a dark sky. So, work out your salvation. That's the main point. For God is working in you. And then you will stand out. Paul then uses a different picture, the image of sacrifice, to describe their life and his life. So, the Old Testament Jews sacrificed animals, and they offered grain and wine on the altar as well. So Numbers 15:5, with each lamb for the burnt offering or the sacrifice, prepare a quarter of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And Paul uses that picture to say that the lives of the Philippians are a sacrifice. And Paul's ministry is like the drink offering that's poured on top of the sacrifice. That extra bit that finishes off the sacrifice, that completes the sacrifice. As they trust in Jesus Christ and work out their salvation in fear and trembling, as their lives live out the good news of Jesus in Philippi, so they are offering up their lives as a sacrifice, burnt up on the altar to God. And Paul's work, his prayers, his ministry, his tears for them are like a drink offering, just poured out on top of their sacrifice, completing it in the sight of God. As he says, even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Poured out like a glass of water poured out on this. Once the water's poured out, you don't get it back. It's gone. Paul's talking about his own death. Again, he's talked about it earlier. Even if he is to be poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of their faith, similar to what Paul said in the letter to the Romans. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That is not the picture of a Christian who trusts in Jesus and then says, my bit's done. God, come and get me, bring me to glory when you're ready. That's not the picture of a Christian who believes and then waits for God to do everything. That is the picture of a Christian who knows that God has started the work and God will complete the work, who knows that God gives them everything, but who works out their salvation with fear and trembling, for God works in them to will and to act for his good pleasure. Who uses every ounce of energy to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Does the idea of working hard disappoint you, make you frustrated. Look at Paul's reaction to this. I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. He rejoices even if he's going to have to offer up his life as a drink offering, executed by the Roman authorities. Making our lives more Christ-like, pouring out our lives for Jesus and his people. Paul rejoices in that. He wants the Philippians to rejoice in that. He wants every reader of this letter, us, to rejoice in that. Rejoice as we see the fruit of righteousness displayed, seen more in our lives. That's what he prayed for them in the first chapter, wasn't it? Rejoice as he sees us living for Christ, living like Christ, considering others as more important than ourselves and living for them like Christ did. Rejoice and be glad in that. Is that you? Think of these two images as we finish. The image of a beautiful garden. Beautiful because someone has done a lot of work. Constantly. Every day. Weeding out those plants that shouldn't be there. Those weeds that shouldn't be there. Watering however much it needs to be watered. That's how it becomes beautiful. Or the image of sacrifice. Giving everything, everything to be burnt up completely or poured out completely. Those are two images that Paul wants to leave us with. That we work out our salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who works in us to will and to act for his good purpose.